Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Ernesto Ortiz, who is the author of the Akashic Records, Sacred Wisdom for Transformation. Ernesto is a teacher of how to access the Akashic Records. He is also the keeper of the knowledge of how to do this, and we're going to be talking about that in a little while. He has a very interesting story regarding how this was bestowed upon him. And basically, he's here to share his knowledge about the Akashic Records, what they are, and how they can benefit you and your spiritual growth. And I've always had quite a fascination with the Akashic Records ever since I studied the writings of and life of Edgar Cayce, because he referred to this a great deal. And it always was amazing to me at the detail of information in the Akashic Records and how it can help us, because a lot of times we just don't have a clue as to what we're walking into or what why we're having the problems we're having and the barriers we're having. And accessing the Akashic Records can help one not only determine what the problems are, but how to get around them. So thanks a lot for joining us, Ernesto. You're calling in from Miami today, is that right?
That is correct. That is correct. It is my pleasure, Susan, to be here with you and your listeners.
Great. Well, let's start off with a little bit about your story and how you were handed this legacy, so to speak, and what that was all about, because that's fascinating, and how that the wisdom is passed down through the generations.
Yeah. Well, do you want me to speak exclusively about the Akashic Records and my connection with the records?
Yeah, how did you come to have the mission that you have? Because it's it seems to be for you. You know, you were specified, and it's an interesting story.
Yeah, to me, you know, I have always been deeply connected to the Akashic Records in one way or another. Mm-hmm. I, as a young child, I saw myself many times walking into this vast library where angels were flying from one side of the place to the other, were carrying big books, and I did not really know what that was all about until, as you mentioned, later in my life, in my late teens, I started studying the life of Edgar Cayce, Alice Bailey, Nostradamus, mm-hmm. and all of these individuals claim to have used the Akashic Records to get information. And we pretty much know that Edgar Cayce was a modern-day prophet and one that claims to have received all of his information from the Akashic Records, and with 90 to 95% accuracy in all of the healings that he did. So that was, to me, a big revelation. About 20-some years ago, I was actually invited to attend a class of the Akashic Records. And the moment my friend mentioned the Akashic Records or the word Akasha, it gives me goosebumps. You know, I have a very strong reaction to that. Sometime later, I could not attend that class, but sometime later, she opened my Akashic Records, and what I felt was this amazing energy that was enveloping me with a tremendous amount of love and kindness and compassion. So what I did is I studied under her, but then a short time after that, I basically start getting deeply connected with the woman that was given the torch, so to speak, of the Akashic Records by a man, a Spaniard named Johnny Porchenska, and he received the sacred prayer in Mexico in the late 1950s, 60s. And this has been handed down like this. So I became very good friends with this lady. Her name is Mary Parker, and she is the one that basically tutored me in many ways in the Akashic Records. When she retired, I could no longer be a part of the organization that she created, because in many ways I am a little bit of a rebel. I don't like to conform very much to dictations of society or rules and that sort of thing. And I had to then step out. And what was interesting is that the board of directors that was created with this organization basically didn't have much to say, but what Mary did is gave me the greatest blessing written, and then that I have that in my book, The Akashic Records, Sacred Wisdom for Transformation. So for the past 20-some years, I have been studying the Akashic Records, getting into my Akashic Records almost daily, and teaching the Akashic Records all over the world. And what I can tell you is that based on the information that I have received from the records, and in the past 20 years, 10, 15 years ago, I went through some extremely difficult circumstances and conditions in my life, and the Akashic Records is the guiding light that has guided me to, for the past, I don't know, 10 years or so, to truly live the life of my dreams. And I don't say that lightly, because it really encompasses all the aspects of my life, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And the only thing that I do right now is follow the guidance of the masters to continue living my life in the way that I do, but more importantly, to be able to share this information, to reawaken the memory that is in other individuals that somehow in this life or a previous life have been connected to the Akashic Records, and for me to remind them of the beauty of the information that is there for our personal healing and inspiration.
Yes, I believe that we are all supposed to have access to this information. I think that that is part of our heritage or our birthright. But we seem to have fallen asleep. You know, most of society is asleep. It just isn't awake. And I think it's very important for people who really probably have never even heard of the Akashic Records to understand what they are and what, you know, you talk about the recording angels. And I think, aren't the recording angels mentioned in the Bible as well?
Yes.
They are. So
yes,
the recording angels and the lords of karma. Why don't you give an overview for the listeners about what the Akashic Records consist of and who, it, like the recording angels and the lords of karma, are involved, how they're involved in the keeping of the records?
Okay. The word Akasha is a Sanskrit word that means primary substance.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think about the primary substance of our soul, is something that is there from the time of the inception of the soul to the present moment. So this imprint at a soul level has been with us from hundreds of lifetimes. So the Akashic Records are the progression of the recordings of our soul's evolution from the time of its inception to the present.
Mm-hmm.
The Akashic Records are the recordings of our souls from the past and to the present, but they are not involved in the outcome of the future, because the future is not determined. It is created by the choices that we make today.
Mm-hmm.
I call the Akashic Records the Library of Congress of the soul. And what I tell my students is, imagine that you can walk into the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C., and you can go there to obtain general information about whatever the current events of the day, or you can ask very specific information about anything that you can possibly think that you have an interest on, whether it be cooking, gardening, healing, the Akashic Records, architecture, music, you know, UFOs. I can just go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And that information is there. So the masters, the lords of Akasha, are the record keepers. They are the ones that receive the information from the imprints of energy that we create as human beings. And the ones that record that information are the recording angels. As you know, there are many different capacities of angels, from the archangels, which are the highest in the realm, all the way down to the little Cupid that we know that as the love angel. And the recording angels are the ones that are truly recording the imprints of the emotions and the reactions that we have to everything in life. And they take those imprints and they give them to the lords of Akasha to imprint or to put into our book of life. So the Akashic Records are mentioned in just about every major religion from around the world, with different names, of course, in the Bible, and most people are familiar with the Bible. It is known in the book of Revelation that it says, in the last days, the book will be open. Well, that book is the book of the Akashic Records. And like you said, we all have the privilege to be able to look into our book of life and see what is it that we are, you know, we have created. If we look at the progression of our soul's evolution, then we, and this is a very important time because we're also at the end of a 26,000-year cycle, and I ask my students all the time, how many times do you think you have taken embodiment on this planet in the last 26,000 years? And everybody is like, wow, yes. So if we are to look at the progression of our soul, some total of the karma that we have balanced, merit that we gain in this lifetime. But nevertheless, we, as said, are, many people are responding in a robotic way. Programming is coming from family, coming from culture, that is coming from society, and it's just like response to the way that we live our lives. So what the Akashic Records can do is once you learn how to access, how to open your Akashic Records.
Well, Ernesto, for our listening audience, I'd like you to talk a little bit about what the Akashic Records are and how the recording angels and the lords of karma fit into this, because I think the recording angels are actually mentioned in the Bible, and I thought it was fascinating that they're all connected.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. I'll be happy to do that. Let me start with the word Akasha, which is where Akashic Records comes from. The word Akasha is a Sanskrit word that means primordial substance. The Akashic Records are the story of our soul's evolution from the time of its inception to the present. So they are the past and present, and they contain the possibility of the unfolding of future events. I call the Akashic Records the Library of Congress of the Soul. Imagine this vast library where you can go and ask for just about anything that you can think of, any interest that you may have. There is going to be information for you to obtain there. So it's like if you have an interest in healing or gardening or UFOs or anything at all, music, anything, the information is going to be there. And in this case, you can go to this Library of Congress and either sit there to simply receive the energy, which is really what heals, from the Akashic Records, or to obtain very precise information about the progression of your souls over the past many lives that we have lived. So they are your book of life. Yes, the Akashic Records are mentioned in the Bible as the book of life, and in the book of Revelations it's mentioned that the book of life will be open in the last days. Well, these are the last days. We are truly living the last days of a cycle of 26,000 years. It doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. It's just the end of a cycle. And with that, an opportunity to take a very close and deep look at what we have created over the past many hundreds of lifetimes to the sum total of who we are, which is reflected in this lifetime. So the Akashic Records can be used to look deeply into patterns that we have created, patterns of addiction, codependency, dysfunctional patterns. We can deeply look at our upbringing, and our upbringing usually carries the imprints that hold us back for the rest of our life. Most of our belief systems, regardless as to the culture or religion belief that we grew up with, are wrong. In most cases, and we grow up with the belief that something that is said by the Catholic Church or this church or the other church is the truth, when in reality those patterns hold us back. And the Akashic Records can help us to look very clearly at all of these and be able to heal them. So the Akashic Records is the sum total of the compendium of knowledge that is encoded in a non-physical plane of existence. Is described as having all the knowledge from all the worlds, from all the belief systems. So we can tap into the Akashic Records, and the key is to trust the shift that takes place internally when we fine-tune our energy to the energy of the records. And the way that we do that is with a sacred prayer that has been given to us that gives us the direct connection or link to the masters and teachers, to the lords of Akasha. So this sacred prayer is encoded in sacred geometry, in light language, which is the language in which a spirit communicates with us. And then from that point, we have the ability to communicate with the masters. Now, you asked about the recording angels. There are dozens of different types of angels in the angelic realm, with the archangels being the highest, and they are below the Akashic realm. The angelic realm is right there. And within that realm, we have the recording angels, and their job is to record the imprints of energy, the emotions, the thoughts, the actions that we have every day, most importantly, our fears. They check that out, and they record that to give them to the lords of Akasha for them to enter into our personal book of life. So that is basically, in a nutshell, what the Akashic Records and the job of the recording angels. Now, you also asked me about the Lords of Karma. And the Lords of Karma, they are a part of the Akashic realm, and they are seven of them. And many people know these Lords of Karma because they are a part of another branch, so to speak, of spirit, which is called the Great White Brotherhood. And mm-hmm. these Lords of Karma, their job is to oversee the individual karma that we create, and it is through them that we can ask for the karma that we have been carried over the past, however old we are, or sometimes many lifetimes, to be reversed, to come to an end. One thing that most people don't realize is that repetitive patterns are people believe that they're like they have purchased this pattern. Like if someone has difficulty with money, and they mm-hmm. are incapable of making money, or they make money and they're not able to keep it, well, it could be that this is an imprint from a contract that they created in a previous life when they were as a monk or a nun in a monastery. And all of their needs were provided for them at that time, so their need to make money was not there. And that contract, it was so strong that we have carried that from that lifetime to the present. But that is not to say that we cannot end that contract, because the truth is that these spiritual contracts are not a purchase, but they are a lease. And when we feel or we know that the lease is coming to an end, what most of us do is we sign up for it again, and we keep that pattern again and again until we realize that the actual purchase is a lease and not a buy, and then we can erase or eliminate that contract and move on with our lives.
Yeah, and really, the patterns are created so that we learn from them. And if we're not learning from them, then, you're just kind of in a loop where nothing's happening. And you could stay in that for lifetimes,
Yes. I ask one question during my classes, and that question is, what do you think is the purpose of childhood? And I get 20, 30 different answers, which are all correct. Is to learn, is to be happy, is to start experiencing life, on and mm-hmm. on. And my answer is, you're all absolutely right. But the real purpose of childhood is to accumulate enough material to process and work through for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, yeah. That is. So in your book, you talk about how addictions can occur.
Yeah.
And I found that very interesting, that the energy of addictions. I'd studied the Alice Bailey materials and had read about the 12 Dark Lords, and there's one Dark Lord just of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found it very interesting how you described how that energy can enter during inception.
Correct.
You want to give that example of how that can happen?
Yes, absolutely. You know, most people that are addicted to a substance, you know, that could be from cigarettes to, you know, alcohol, anything like that,
mm-hmm.
that addiction or may not come directly from them during this life and being exposed to friends or society, but it may come from the actual addiction or addictive pattern that their parents had.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, how many times we've seen in movies or maybe in real life for some people, that there's a man and a woman that are having sex, and the moment they end, you know, they finish having sex, they ejaculate, one of them turns around and they light a cigarette.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or they turn around, they grab a drink that is next
mm-hmm.
to them, and they have that drink. Okay,
mm-hmm.
those two particular patterns are addictive patterns that the parents have. And what happens is that at the moment of inception, when
mm-hmm.
the sperm enters the egg, the imprint of the pattern of addiction enters with the sperm
mm-hmm.
or with the egg, if it's in the case of a woman. And it's as imagine that egg enters a balloon, and with that sperm enters a dark cloud, which is the pattern of addiction, nicotine, alcohol, gambling, whatever it may be. And then
mm-hmm.
the fetus starts developing with that addictive pattern. So basically, you are screwed. You are in a position in which you have no other way of being other than addicted to that substance. However, the good news is that we can go back to the moment of, you know, with the Akashic Records, we can go back to the root cause. In this case, the root cause is the imprint that was given to us at the time of the conception. So we can go back with the Akashic Records and actually change the karmic imprint that took place at the time of our conception, and with that, heal that addictive pattern.
Yeah, that's very useful, because in the real world of medicine, addiction is quite a problem.
Oh, sure.
It really is. A lot of ER visits are due to addiction, either accidents you get into because you don't have good judgment because of things, or drug withdrawals, or violence because of people trying to get money for hard drugs.
Yes.
I mean, there's just an awful lot of ER visits and expense that wouldn't be there if addictions didn't exist.
That's right. In my belief system, I believe that the root cause of addiction is 2% physical and 2% psychological and 96% spiritual.
Yeah, I agree. We see an awful lot of attachments with people who are addicted, and the attachments are spiritual attachments, and they are vicariously enjoying the whatever it is, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, through the person doing the activity.
Sure. If an individual is addicted to cigarettes, to nicotine,
mm-hmm.
there is a nicotine entity that is attached to that individual. So for
mm-hmm.
every single puff that they take, a little amount of their life force is given to this entity.
Right.
That
That's
is their
true.
Personal entity. And that personal entity is attached or connected to the mother entity of nicotine, which mm-hmm. is the one that is keeping the world, you know, addicted to the substance. So mm-hmm. when we start understanding that all of these are not really causes that come from our desire to be addicted to something, because most people mm-hmm. do want to have a healthier, happier, more fulfilled life, and they know that being addicted to a substance is not giving them that.
Right.
And we can
yeah.
use spiritual tools to find a solution for spiritual problems.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I smoked for 20 years. Both my parents smoked. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's interesting. And when I smoked for 20 years, I knew that I had to give up smoking because I had spiritual hearing and I heard I had to. I mean, basically, I was given a choice, you know, give up smoking or they'd take me out early. So, because my spiritual mission wasn't aligned with me being a smoker. So I said, fine, you know, I said, fine, no problem. Then you take my desire away.
Yeah.
And so they guided me to a psychiatrist who hypnotized me. And in one session, basically said I wouldn't want a cigarette again, and I didn't. So this is the kind of bargaining you can do with your higher self and your guardian angels and your guides. You can say, okay, fine, you know, I'm willing to do it. You know, make this happen, and then they do.
Yeah.
So it's really nice.
It is really nice, and the thing is that individuals, people have to be ready to want to make the change.
They do. That's true.
You know, and if you're ready to make the change, if you're fed up, if you're tired of living the life that you have been living, and you continue making the same mistakes, you drive down mm-hmm. the street and you fall into the same hole again and again, well, it gets to a point which just gets tiring of doing this. And when we get fed up is when we have the opportunity to wake up. And this happens to everyone. I think everyone mm-hmm. has that. And I have, as well as I'm sure that you have seen, the spiritual awakening that is taking place all over the world. You know, I have the great fortune to truly live the life of my dreams. You know, I do exactly what I want to do in life. I love to teach, and I teach. I love to travel, and I travel mm-hmm. all over the world. I love
right.
to photograph, and I travel with my cameras, you know, photographing all over the world. And what I have seen is, in the past 15 years or so, a tremendous spiritual awakening. People are hungry for this material. I will tell you that probably 10 to 15 years ago, if we did a search on the Internet for the Akashic Records, if you found something, maybe two or three individuals, me and somebody else, doing it, were too many. But today, you know, it's all over the place. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
books written, and people that are you know, accessing the Akashic Records via other means, you know, psychic or meditations or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that all of that works. For me, the key and the heart of the Akashic Records in the way that I teach it is the sacred prayer. And that sacred prayer is what is the most meaningful and is something that I have not changed from the time that I learned it, and I will not change it as other people have to be able to write books or whatever, because that is what is the encoding that we need in order to access the information and have the communication from the Lords of Akasha.
Yeah, I think that your book does a very good job of talking about, you know, how to, you know, the all sorts of information that you need to access the records, not just the prayer, but, you know, how to actually, you know, go into the records and find the most useful information and, you know, how to have a relationship with it.
Right.
And, you know, the things to be careful of. And, you know, it's just a very, very good book in terms of, yeah, because you can't just let anybody run rampant through the Akasha. I mean, it just, first of all, you have to have certain, you know, guidelines. And certain, you know, like not trying to use the information for, you know, illicit and unethical reasons and, you know, that
right.
kind of thing. All those things need to be considered.
Thank you. Yeah, to me, the most important thing about the book is which is the same. I wrote the book as if I was talking to a class, you know, anywhere in the world. And one of the questions that I always ask is, do you have everything that you would like to have in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, then what is the condition of your mind that creates the circumstances, the people, and the conditions that you experience? So if you don't have exactly what you need, then you must change your belief system and the condition of your mind. The moment you change those two, then you change your reality completely. And most people that come to my classes also want to be enlightened. You know, I mean, the enlightenment is something that is very popular nowadays in the spiritual movement worldwide. But most people don't realize, as it is with the Akashic Records, that we must pay the price of enlightenment. That enlightenment doesn't come easy or cheap. That we must destroy the old self, that all of our old belief systems, all of our patterns, all of our addictions, everything must be destroyed. It must die before we can get to the point of rebuilding, and as we rebuild, to rebuild to the point of truly being enlightened.
That's true.
So
that's very true.
Yeah, that is what my book is written, I think, in a comprehensive way to really explain things that people must know: protection, grounding, how to access the Akashic Records, how to meditate. You know, the three essentials that come as a result of tuning into the Akashic Records, which I call the view, meditation, and action, and that is three components of the Akashic Records that are the most important, because once you access the Akashic Records, it's as if you are able to look at your own book of life. So you can take a step back or outside of yourself to see, to view your life as a theatrical play. So now you're looking at your life in front of you, and you look at life saying, I like it or I don't like it. These people are helping me, and these people are not helping me. So what do you have to do? You take it to meditation. In your meditation, you're able, and this is all within the Akashic Records, by the way. In meditation, you can then process. It's like if you enter the laboratory of the self, where you can create. And there are many different styles of meditation. So I'm talking about now, meditation that is visualizing what you see. And then the last step by taking the view on meditation is action. And action is what is going to make the changes in the physical world, this physical reality that we have. That's what we need to change things. If it's just at an intellectual level or an emotional level, things don't change. But we have to give them action. So these three combined, the view, meditation, and action, within the Akashic Records, is what really has the keys to make anyone, as long as we believe that it's possible, as long as we know that we are worthy of living the life of our dreams, you know, that we are the sons and daughters of the divine, of God, then we can have the richness, the spiritual richness, and the enlightenment that we're looking for.
I think that's great. Would you like to give your contact information at this point? Because I know that you teach all over the world, and people might want to, have your website in order to see where you're going to be.
Sure, absolutely. It would be my pleasure. My website is journeytotheheart.com.
Okay.
www.journeytotheheart.com.
And where do you have your next scheduled teachings?
Well, not all that I do is based on the Akashic Records. I like to balance what I do based on the way that I have lived my life. But I will probably next February or March, I have classes in France, levels 1, 2, and 3. Next April, I will have the same level 1, 2, and 3 in Calgary, Canada. In Miami, Florida, or actually I'm talking with someone about scheduling classes in Sedona, Arizona, hopefully sometime in May. So, if people want to email me or, you know, that they can do that from my website. I can put them mm-hmm. on my mailing list, or they can just check regularly the calendar events on my website and see what I'm doing next.
Okay, great. One of the things in your book that I found interesting was your discussion of grace points.
Yes.
Would you like to share that?
Yes, absolutely. Grace points are physical points of action. In the Akashic Records, we sit a lot and we receive a lot of information. As we are receiving information, some of the information that we are receiving may be very useful, and some of the information that we are receiving may be stuff that we are holding, patterns of dysfunction that we are holding that we need to mm-hmm. let go of. And based on the information that we are receiving from the records, something gets triggered within our physical body that awakens with information that we receive, and these are known as grace points. So grace points are physical points of action that manifest in our hands, left hand feminine components, right hand masculine components. So as we are exploring an issue with the Akashic Records, we can check, you know, all of these different points in our hands by pressing, by massaging them. And if they are active, they're going to be a little tender, sometimes very tender. And if they're not active, there is no tenderness at all. Now, exploring a specific issue may awaken the grace points that we have in our right hand, but not in our left hand, because the issue that we are exploring has to do with masculine components. So they're wonderful tools to use to gauge and to see whether the question that we're exploring is coming from a feminine point of view or a masculine point of view. Sometimes we can be exploring a feminine question that may be directly related to our mother, and there are mm-hmm. no grace points active in our left hand, but the grace points in our right hand, they're very, very tender or painful. And in this mm-hmm. case, by learning the art of questioning, which is extremely important, then we can start taking that information and getting to root cause, and to find that the root cause was father that abused mother and a mother abused us, you know, as a result of that. Mm-hmm. So when mother gave the discipline, she did it with tremendous amount of pain, because if she didn't, then father would be the one that, you know, abused her. So mm-hmm. these grace points help us tremendously to anchor information that we are receiving, as well as letting go of what no longer we need. And there are grace points at the level 1, level 2, and level 3.
Mm-hmm.
And these grace points are, like I said, just very useful to help us to eliminate or to anchor that what we need.
Now, Edgar Cayce, when he did readings from the Akashic Records, he brought in a lot of information that was actually unknown to him. He was raised as a Christian, where concepts of reincarnation weren't taught, and he kept getting information about past life influences, which was fascinating. Have you experienced in the Akashic Records things that come from previous lives that are affecting current health issues?
Absolutely. For me, not so much health issues, because I have been extremely fortunate in this lifetime to always be very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But, karmic patterns that come from past lives, definitely. I have experienced and seen, actually, like an actual movie in front of me, the past lives that I have had with either past girlfriends or with my mother or with my father, and how the Akashic Records have helped me to bring that past life into the present, and to bring resolution in peace, harmony, and love, so I don't continue the same karmic pattern with those individuals and carry them over to my next life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think that's why it's important not to hate anybody. That's what
never.
I've got out of it. I mean, you just
never.
I mean, you can, like, you can dislike their current personality. I mean, you know, just you don't care for it, but it should go no further than that. You should never hate anybody, because I think that really attracts them back to you.
Oh, absolutely.
In some manner.
Yeah, the question that I have asked myself, and I've worked with this for many years, and now I share it with my students, is out of this troubled relationship that you have had or that you have, what mm-hmm. have you learned?
Right.
And just make a list of what you have learned. Well, maybe you have learned that you don't like to be abused. Maybe
right. Well, that's important.
Yeah. Maybe you learned that you don't like to be beaten up. Okay, that,
right.
that is part of it. But what else have you learned? So anything that you have learned, make a list of that. And then mm-hmm. the next question that I ask is, how do you feel when you learn something new about yourself that makes you a better person?
Mm-hmm.
And it's inevitable that we feel good about ourselves.
Right.
Now, if that is the case, if this individual was put in your life to give you those lessons for you to learn about yourself so you can be better, then
mm-hmm.
it's so easy for me to go to the point of gratitude for who and what they are.
Right, yeah.
Now,
that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, you know, I can, you know, in my personal life, you know, my relationship with my mother was extremely troubled because I was a little rebel, okay? And she wanted me to be the typical Mexican son that just was connected to her skirt the whole time, and I was out and
mm-hmm.
about. I moved out of my house when I was 17 years old, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So troubled relationship in that respect. And what I did through the Akashic Records is explore the past lives that I have had with my mother and recognize that in my last life with her, that we both agree at a soul level when we obviously died and moved to the spirit world, that she would sacrifice a certain portion of her life being my mother in this lifetime for me to have the lessons that she gave me, as painful as they were, for
mm-hmm.
me to get to the point of complete gratitude and forgiveness.
Right.
When
yeah.
I understood that, then I knew that she had been the way she was in this life out of a contractual agreement that we made at a spiritual level that was created out of the essence of the most pure love.
Mm-hmm.
So when we understand, when we view things differently like this, there's no one to hate. There is nothing.
That's right. There aren't.
Nothing at all.
Right. People are just playing different roles. And then, you know, the whole thing about falling in love is interesting. Because when you fall madly in love with somebody, you usually have karma with them, which means somebody owes somebody something. You know, it really is. I mean, that's the falling in love part. And which is different than the soulmate part. The soulmate part is you just really are in love with the person. You know, it's a deep spiritual love. And that, you know, that is different than falling madly in love. Very different.
Yeah, to me, is I don't fall in love. I am in love.
Exactly, and there's a big difference between those two.
Yeah, and the difference is either is also in the words that we use. You know, do I like falling? No.
No.
I don't like to fall. You know,
you're
I
out
like
of control
to,
then.
You know, if you fall, then you're completely out of control. You have no.
Yeah.
No ways of really knowing what is happening when you are falling,
right.
You know. So if I am falling in love, you know, I catch myself because I
mm-hmm.
don't like to fall. I like to be. I am in love.
Right.
I can be
yeah,
in love
right.
with someone, but I don't
mm-hmm.
fall in love
mm-hmm.
because that just is. I know that we're talking about, you know, words, but words is what create a specific imprint in our mind, and the mind
mm-hmm.
reacts to those imprints. So it's like when people say, my headache, well, then you own it, you know.
Right.
My cancer, well, you own it, you know.
Yeah, argue for your limitations and they are yours.
That's right.
That's right, yeah, yeah. So what sort of stories do you have about, say, healthy, I mean, it's a health show, so that's why I'm asking. Not in yourself, since you've been healthy, but do you have other students who've found answers to their health issues in the Akashic Records?
Absolutely. I can two stories pop right into my mind immediately.
Okay.
And one was a woman that came to take all three levels of the Akashic Records maybe 10, 15 years ago. And about 6 months after she took the classes, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. She freaked out, and the doctor told her she had to go through chemotherapy, et cetera, et cetera. And she says, actually, this testimonial is in my website, so people can go and read it. But she said that she went to the hospital to receive her first treatment of chemotherapy, and she decided that she wanted to open her Akashic Records. When she opened her Akashic Records right there at the hospital while she was waiting, she said that it was like a miracle that she remembered almost every single word that I said during the three classes. And then in addition to that, she heard the voice of the master very, very clearly and said, you have to trust this is not the right solution for the condition that you have. And go home, and we'll give you the exact recipe for you to heal the cancer.
That's
so
wonderful.
We're talking about a situation of life and death, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
She trusted enough, and that to me is just the most important thing, that trust.
She
closed her Akashic Records. She went home, and the hospital called her, et cetera, and she said, leave me alone. She started working every day with the masters, and every day they were giving her a very precise recipe that she followed.
Mm-hmm.
And within a few months after that, 5, 6, 7 months, I don't remember exactly, she went back to the doctor. They checked her, and she was completely free of cancer.
Right. See, that's my belief that that cancer can be like a final exam, and the exam is, can you follow your intuition? And, you know, most people don't know a lot about the Akasha, so I don't say, you know, can you go into the Akasha and figure out how to get out of it, but that's really what it is. I mean, it's that's the polite term is following your intuition, but it really is seeking higher guidance and then getting out of it through specific information that you're following.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And the other quick story that I can tell you that is related to health is a woman came to a class that I was teaching, level one class in Northern California a few years ago. And when I opened the circle and it was her turn to share, she started crying. And when she finished, she said, I'm here because I know that the energy of the Akashic Records will heal me. She said that with conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, I have a lump on my left breast that is about the size of a lemon. And I palpate this lump every single day. Mammogram shows it. The x-ray shows it, whatever. And I know that I'm here to heal. And I said, great. Okay, at the end of the second day, we're talking, and I said, you know, Mary, you have something to share with us? And she just started crying again. And she said, you know, this energy is what has healed me already. And so we all looked at her like, what are you talking about? She said, remember the lump that I told you about from my breast that I had the size of a lemon? Everybody said yes. She says, well, during the break, I went to the bathroom. Something told me to check, and that lump has been reduced to be the size of a pea.
There you go.
And this is 48 hours later.
And I want to talk about that, emphasize that when you're actually in the records, you can just take the energy in of the higher dimensions in meditation and heal things, probably heal a lot more than just physical problems, I would think.
That is correct. I know if you remember a little while ago I said that the energy is what heals. So absolutely, when you open your Akashic Records, there is a portal of energy that opens, and via our eighth chakra, that energy descends into our seventh chakra and comes down to fill our entire body. So the energy of the Akashic Records is what heals. The information comes to satisfy our need to know. So, you know, if we need to know something, we can ask, but if we have the complete and total conviction that the energy is going to heal, and we trust and we believe, we create or we build the belief system that this is the truth, then we can sit in the Akashic Records, like you said, in meditation, and that energy will balance you and heal you.
Yeah, and it's so important right now as we're ending, coming to the end of this cycle on 12/21/2012, which is just around the corner, that one of the most important things you can do for yourself right now is sit in this energy. I mean, we have meditation groups here, and it's just so important right now to balance out, because not balancing out, you don't have your concentration, your awareness, you have more accidents, you have more problems. You know, you're scattered, you have more illnesses, you have more mental anxiety,
yeah.
Emotional problems. I mean, it's all around. Just look around. I mean, everybody's having problems. But the answer, and this is what the masters are telling us, is that sit more often in meditation, in this higher energy, and let your guides and your higher self work on you.
That's
and
right.
Get you straightened out so that when the higher energies come in, they're not going to discombobulate you.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah.
So
now you asked about about, you know, this is a health show. You asked if I had a personal story, and I said no, but actually I do.
Okay.
This particular book is the book that I did not want to write. I just really didn't want to write it. I have four other books that are that I'm writing. And to me, I'm a little old-fashioned with the Akashic Records. I believe in the oral tradition. And every time the master said to me, write the book, I had an excuse, and I said, no. Write because I can be hard-headed.
A little rebel, huh?
Yeah. 3 years ago, I was in Bali, and I teach an Akashic Record intensive every year in Bali. I've been doing this for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a long story short, I had 14 days between the time I finished in Bali and the time I was going to start teaching in France. So I decided that I wanted to go and tour the island on a motorcycle and photograph. But in my Akashic Records, the masters told me, don't do that, write the book. I didn't want to hear it. So what happened is the morning that I'm getting ready to leave on a motorcycle and tour, I fall and break my left wrist.
Okay. Makes riding a motorcycle difficult.
That was the end of that trip, the motorcycle idea. I went to see different healers, etc., and they didn't do anything, no x-rays or anything like that were done. But I opened my Akashic Records daily, and they guided me to start working on my wrist. Now, 2 weeks later, 14 days later, I arrived in France to start teaching. At the end of the fourth day of the level one class, my wrist was just in a lot of pain. I went to the emergency room at a hospital. They x-rayed my wrist, and they said to me, your wrist is broken from side to side. How long has it been like that? I go, well, about 2.5 weeks. And they said, this is crazy. Well, they put this gigantic cast on me, and I asked for it to, you know, for them to cut it a little bit. It was so uncomfortable that I removed it that night. Worked another 4 days over there, and then came back to the U.S. Now we're talking about 3 weeks later. I'm working daily with the Akashic Records with my wrist, minimize the pain. Now that I know that the radius, the bone, is broken, I am working with that through the Akashic Records. I went to see an orthopedic doctor here in Miami and told me how long it's been like that. I said, you know, about 3.5 weeks. He goes, this is crazy. You know, how can this be that a fall and a fracture of this nature would normally require surgery, and it would require pins. You don't need anything at all. Go home. Put a bandage.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So anyway.
That also teaches us that we really ought to follow our guidance, huh?
All the time.
It's a lot smarter to do that than to have to go through that.
I suffer the consequences.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour here. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Yes, it will be my pleasure. Thank you so much. If people want to email me, they can do it at kiva101, that's K-I-V-A 101, at AOL.com, or go to my website, which is journeytotheheart.com.
Now, I've also got, you have a book called Hot Stone Massage.
Yeah.
And then a book called In the Presence of Love.
Yeah.
And then you have some DVDs on the Akashic Records.
Right. I have the level one class on DVD. It's four DVDs, approximately 10 hours of instruction, yes.
Okay. And then you have a Tian Di Bamboo Massage DVD?
Yes.
Great. Well, today we've been talking with Ernesto about his book, The Akashic Record, Sacred Wisdom for Transformation. And I, for one, am very glad that you kind of were forced to write the book. Because it's a very good book. And, you know, you really have to share it with the world. And unfortunately, the world cannot always come to your classes. You know,
that
just isn't possible.
That's true.
That's why I was forced to write a book, too, called The Naked Truth About Breast Implants. Because, you know, I may not be around doing surgery forever, and it's important for the future to have this information, a lot of which I brought through from the Akashic Records, in order to treat a new disease that was being caused by the chemical and biotoxicity from breast implants. So everybody is, you know, you're guided to write the books because you have information that needs to get out there.
That's right.
And it's,
and fortunately, I have to say, you know, the book has been out for probably 7 months or so, and I get emails from people from different places around the world saying, thank you for this information, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's very, very good information. Very good.
I'm deeply grateful that I have the opportunity to write it. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Next week, we will be interviewing Dr. Eric Love, Physician Heal Thyself. That's probably meant for me and other physicians, but no, it's probably more information on how to heal yourself. And then we're going to talk about killer clothes, how seemingly innocent clothing choices endanger your health and how to protect yourself. That's by Dr. Anna Marie Clement on the 22nd. And then on the 29th, Marie Jones will be back with her book, 2013, The End of Days or a New Beginning, Envisioning the World After the Events of 2012. Well, Ernesto, thank you so much for joining us again. I highly recommend your book to any spiritual seeker. I think it's great. And have a great week.
Thank you so much, Susan. It's been my pleasure.
This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.